Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
They make the lunch break go faster. Gresh and Keith on WEEI.
I think you guys in Boston are very blessed to have the coach and Brad Stevens that you have. Anybody trying to think that that's a problem really is grasping at straws.
So will the Boston Celtics be a part of our summertime sadness and get bounced? Well, maybe in the play-in round.
Yeah, they might not make the summer. They might be in the spring.
I
don't know how you're so glass overflowing when it comes to the Celtics.
Well, with Brown and Tatum, there's at least the, okay, those guys have done it before.
The puncher's
now,
chance.
Without Jaylen Brown,
yeah.
I think what it has done is created a unique set of circumstances to evaluate this team another way. Look, we were sitting here yesterday talking about, boy, if they could get, you know, in the upper part of the bracket versus the lower part of the bracket. Well, now a lot of that is done, right? Because without Jaylen Brown, aren't we going to learn a couple of things? I think here are the three things that we can learn, right? Without Jaylen Brown, right?
Yeah.
Number one, does Jason Tatum have another level to his superstardom? Mike, we look at what is going on with Golden State right now with Steph Curry,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And Steph Curry is dragging Golden State into what might be a play-in game matchup against the Los Angeles Lakers. And regardless of how Steph Curry has done it, he's done it. So does Jason Tatum have a little bit of that in him to maybe drag this team somewhere or play to the level to where he tried like hell to drag this team somewhere that they shouldn't go? Number two, I think if this team is totally tuning out Brad Stevens, which some people have suggested on our phones and on our airwaves.
Not Jeff Van Gundy, though.
Right, not Jeff Van Gundy on the Greg Hill show earlier today that you just heard. But if this team really isn't engaged with Brad Stevens, this is when we're going to find out.
I think this is only bad news because I think any kind of a outside puncher's chance, could they go on a run, you needed Tatum and Brown. Because I think Tatum could play at an even higher level. I think that's possible. I think he could. But when you have the supporting cast is even worse now, that might not mean anything. It might be one of those series where he goes off, and maybe he's even the best player in the series, but the next three best players are on the other side.
But I can live with that because that is something that I don't think we have necessarily seen from him yet. And without Jaylen Brown, I would like to see him in a playoff setting to where there isn't that, whether you feel it or not, that other guy there that you almost feel like you have to placate along the way.
But see, I disagree because you need the other guy to have any success in the league. Like, go back through it. Even LeBron needed Wade or Irving or Anthony Davis.
Oh, look,
so you can't do it by yourself.
I'm not talking championship. But what I'm talking about is like a little bit. But again, if you went around, let's say, right? And again, I know it's inconceivable to some. But if you went around, I think we would look at some of the parts of this group very differently than the, oh my God, there's just impending doom. And like we spent yesterday talking about the how they could break this team up. I think by removing Jaylen Brown organically because of injury, it's going to give Danny Ainge different kind of intel to make those sorts of decisions, and I think it'll help us as well. Because let me ask you this.
I don't.
What if Evan Fournier, because the other one would be, Fournier is really the big free agent decision for the Celtics.
Yes.
Would you agree with that?
On their roster, yes.
On their roster. Yes. So it's the whole, are we going to try to find a way to keep this guy here? Because if you do, you're probably then going over the cap, you're incurring a tax charge, yeah, all that kind of stuff. And those decisions aren't made willy-nilly over there. There's got to be something to it. And Fournier has a chance to maybe play his way into a contract here, or maybe play his way onto someone else's roster, and then begins the trade game. I don't think, look, in terms of championship, we weren't thinking that anyway, right?
Yeah, they were kind of, the question was, are they goosed or are they porked? And they were probably both anyway, even with Brown. And now without him, I feel like it's sort of it's almost a useless endeavor. I don't think you're going to learn anything about the team, because Jason Tatum, over the next 5 years, if the Celtics are going to break through,
yep,
it's either going to be with Tatum and Brown, or Tatum and the guy you trade Brown for.
Fair.
It's not going to be Tatum by himself. So we saw a couple years ago, Kyrie Irving's down. Kyrie Irving goes down, they go on a little bit of a run. Did that really help long term, or did it kind of get in their heads that they were better than they were? Terry Rozier thinks he's a superstar. Jaylen Brown thinks he's a superstar. All these guys thought they were great because they made it far.
And the ones who weren't are gone.
And those guys are gone.
And Rozier would be the perfect example.
And he didn't
of that.
Really replace those guys talent wise. Now, there's a slim opportunity that maybe Aaron Nesmith steps up or Evan Fournier steps up, because there's more shots to be had. In my mind, I think Marcus Smart's going to try to take those shots, and it's going to be ugly. So any kind of hope that, oh, you have two all-stars, they're going to be able to go on a run, that's out the window. And even if a run was two rounds instead of one, to me, out the window. And it gives Danny Ainge another excuse of, well, why wouldn't I run it back? We didn't even have a playoff run. We didn't even have an opportunity. Remember Doc Rivers for years said, hey, when we had Rondo, Allen, Pierce, Garnett, and Perk, we never lost a playoff series. Well, because in 09, you didn't have Garnett. In 10, you didn't have Perk, and then you ended up trading him. So you can't even really rely on that. And I feel like Ainge could do the same thing. Be like, Tatum and Brown both got better individually this year. They both took a step forward on the court. And, yeah, we lost in the playoffs. Of course we lost. We had all these injuries all year. We didn't even have our second-best player. So that bothers me, because I think they would have had to have made a shakeup if they had all their guys. If they had all their guys healthy and they got blitzed by the Brooklyn Nets, then you have to adjust.
See, I'm applying some Isaiah Thomas logic to this, because there's all this stuff on Danny Ainge out there, but you know what the one thing Danny Ainge didn't do? He didn't slip on that banana peel of giving Isaiah Thomas max money, which is what he wanted. So even though they made a deep run, Danny Ainge still said, long term, this ain't going to work. And that's why they ended up dangling Thomas as a part of the Kyrie deal. So
what would have happened?
I think they might have tried to go. I don't think they were giving him max money.
Well,
though,
if he doesn't get hurt, I bet they do, because what else were they going to do?
But
it was all kind of moot because he got hurt and Kyrie was available.
But I look at that as the results didn't lead to Ainge saying, this is the way we're going to go because of the results. And I kind of feel that way here. Whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, I think Ainge now has the ability to look at this team differently. And you do get a feel of this team in a big spot without Jaylen Brown. Now, I know that if you move on from Jaylen Brown, you're bringing someone in.
Yeah, another big-time player.
And that's where the whole visualization of this, that, like, for better or worse, Danny Ainge didn't look at Isaiah Thomas and said, that's the way we need to build our basketball team. So there's the hope in my mind that whatever happens and comes out of all of this, that there'll be a little bit of that kind of 30,000-foot view of things from Danny Ainge, to where he could visualize, or maybe he's hearing on the inside, these guys aren't really vibing with Brad, and if they go out and lose two play-in games and they're out of the playoffs, that might really be a justification in the mind of Danny Ainge to actually do something with this guy, which people I know on our phones and text and Twitch and Twitter have been screaming for.
I just hope that Danny Ainge doesn't feel about the Celtics the same way Jeff Van Gundy does, and we don't need to play it, but Jeff Van Gundy was on this morning, but basically, it's nobody's fault that they're in this position except for injuries.
Right.
So
COVID.
So, okay, so Harden hasn't missed games. Durant hasn't missed a million games. LeBron and Anthony Davis haven't missed games. And all these other guys. Jamal Murray's out for the year. Like, there's been, And I don't know if it's the shortened season or what, but how many star guys have missed games this year? There's been
a million games lost across the league.
So to say Brad's doing a great job coaching, Danny's doing a great job putting the team together, Tatum's having an all NBA season, like, all right, then how the hell do you go from Eastern Conference Finals to fighting for the play-in tournament? You might be the seventh or eighth seed in the East. And one of Van Gundy's points were, well, the roster's not that talented. But again, he's not going to say anything bad about Ainge, but he's going to say something about the roster.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also pointed out that, you know, are you more talented than Philly, Brooklyn, or Milwaukee? And I would say the answer is no on those three, but why'd you stop there? You didn't go to the Knicks. You didn't go to the Hornets or the Hawks or the Heat. The Celtics are as talented or more talented than all of those teams. And oh, by the way, if you're going to use the injury thing, how many games have the three stars on the Nets played together? And yet they still somehow find ways to win games when only one of them's out there or two of them are out there. So I don't know. It's got to be somebody's fault. And it's not one guy. It's not like, oh, you fire Brad, they're great. You trade Jaylen Brown, they're great. You get rid of Danny Ainge, which I don't think they'll do, they're great. Obviously, it's not that. But by running the same team back next year would just be ridiculous.
Does it feel like we're at least getting to the point where Ainge is going to have to make a decision on someone or something that would be a little uncomfortable or difficult off of this run? See, I think it seems like you're in the mode of
they're gonna bring it
Danny's
back.
Just going to run it back yeah. because the circumstances allow him to do so, and it's the path of least resistance.
It was like by the end of last year and the start of the offseason with the Patriots, I said, they're bringing Cam Newton back. Like all signed, now maybe Mac Jones ends up being the starter at some point, but I just had a bad feeling they're going to bring Cam Newton back, and they did. And the way Bill talked about Cam is kind of similar to the way Danny Ainge talks about Brad Stevens. Like he loves Brad, and Brad could very well get a job really quickly somewhere else in the league.
That won't be an issue.
But that's also not the reason to keep him. And like Wick Rospeck did an interview a few months ago, and he said the same thing. Like, well, I wouldn't be unemployed very long. All right, well, neither was Claude Julien or Terry Francona or, like, all these guys that let Doc Rivers. Like, they all were able to get jobs pretty quickly.
It's like Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown can be a great player, but not the perfect fit to get team to where they need to get to. And Stevens would be the same thing. He's a good coach, but maybe they... Again, if you lose two play-in games, it's hard for me to think that the stink doesn't then get pushed to the coach and that Danny Ainge can ignore that.
But also the easy thing, and Danny's willing to make trades, but then again, you also need the other team on the other side to make those trades.
Yeah, and people don't want to trade with them.
They don't necessarily want to trade with them. And I think of all the guys that would present like a major shakeup for next year, they're all under contract. Brad has a long-term deal. Tatum and Brown both have long-term deals. Kemba has 2 years left, and Marcus Smart has a year left. Everybody else is sort of a side character, and they're either on their rookie deals, and they're here for a while cheap, or they're like Fournier or Jabari Parker, mm-hmm. and they're going to be gone. Well, they could be gone next year. So it's not like the Bruins this year finally had to make a bit of a change because Chara and Krug were free agents. So it was, they didn't trade Krejci. People were calling for Krejci or Rask. Nope, they didn't trade them. But they had two tenured guys that were free agents, and they didn't bring them back. So that alone provided some change. Whereas the Celtics, if they don't do a thing, it's the exact same team that are paying all these guys again next
year. You're adding another draft pick or whatever you do in free agency.
You're the next Aaron Nesmith.
And by the way, I was looking at the free agent list. I got this up from Hoops Hype, and this was updated.
It's not great, right?
It is not
at all.
Yeah,
I didn't think so.
In fact, Kawhi is the number one player listed, but he has a player option.
But he'll probably opt out and then re-sign a monster deal at the end of the year.
You would think so.
Like, he'll be all NBA and whatever that's going to
transactional, right? Yeah, so he's really not going to leave.
I would imagine.
And then you got John Collins of Atlanta, who's restricted.
Right. So that's a tough guy to get.
Mike Conley of Utah. I mean, you want that guy?
He's 100.
Victor Oladipo is number four on this list.
Everybody's had a shot at Victor Oladipo, it seems like.
Jarrett Allen, a Cleveland center who is restricted.
He was in that trade.
But there's another, DeMar DeRozan of San Antonio.
No.
Like Chris Paul's got player option.
Like Jaylen Brown's better. Obviously not Kawhi Leonard, but everybody else that's going to move teams, Jaylen Brown's better than.
Kyle Lowry is another guy who's going to be a free agent.
Although
Lonzo's restricted.
Now, not to get into next year's team completely, but Kyle Lowry would be the type of guy. You know how you're asking for a Jimmy Butler
yes.
type? Lowry fits that category.
Agreed.
If you want a veteran leader, I don't know how much he has left in the tank. But like a no-nonsense guy, that's Lowry.
Totally agree. I'm trying to scroll down this list to see where Evan Fournier pops up. And I'm already... 21.
He's 21st on
that
list.
On this list. He is behind Tim Hardaway Jr. Huh. Right? So, but
if he has a good playoff run, like, who knows? Somebody will take him.
And that that all factors into this in terms of not only the playoff run, but there's the Evan Fournier piece. There's the constant evaluation of the head coach and just sort of how all these pieces fit. I am optimistic. Not that they're going to go on a huge run of success.
No.
But that we're going to get enough games to be able to see some things without the context of Jaylen Brown on the floor that will help with decision making other than, well, let's just run it back. Because I am of the thought that they're not going to run it back. Like, something now has to give. And
I hope you're right.
With a weak free agent class, this is the time. If you're going to trade Jaylen Brown, and you're going to cash him in for other chips, this is the year to do it because there isn't anybody in free agency that really gets you hot and horny.
But the other problem is Bradley Beal, which seems to be one. I know Jeff Goodman brought it up over the weekend. There's obviously the ties with Beal and Tatum, so it makes a lot of sense. But either Washington doesn't have to trade him. And the other thing we read about Bradley Beal at the trade deadline was he's a really loyal guy. He's only played with the Wizards. He's not... Again, things can change overnight, but he's not one of these guys that is demanding to be out. They traded away Wall. They brought in Westbrook. So they're not a very good team, but they're in the play-in tournament. Maybe they go on a surprise run, win a couple of games, and he feels a little bit better about them. Like, I think what we need, too, is on top of the Celtics winning as many games as possible, you need the Wizards to get bounced early, and you need Beal to say, all right, enough is enough.
Like, it's the time is up here, right?
You need that because that's, by the way, the only... realistic trade proposal that I've heard that makes sense. Like, what other one? Jaylen Brown for who that you would really want to do if you can't get Beal? Like, it's not a growing list of guys there that makes sense.
Everybody focuses on Beal because of the relationship with Tatum, but you're right. Like, if we were to expand it a little bit and say, okay, these would be three other guys that they could go to that would fit. The other part of this, too, is there's the draft class, which is supposed to be good, not great.
Yeah.
And a free agent class that is weak, you hope it gets these GMs thinking, how can I tweak my roster? And maybe the easiest way to do it is to work together.
Yeah.
Until you see Danny Ainge and the 617 come up, and then people are like, I'm not trading with this guy. Right now, only on the contest line at 617-931-0937, only on the contest line, caller 9 right now. We'll get tickets to go see the Red Sox play the Angels Friday night at Fenway Park. Caller 9 right now, only the contest line, 617-931-0937. We'll win those tickets to go see the Sox over at Fenway. And oh, by the way, that gets us to what will be the series of the week in Major League Baseball.
We have the Red Sox and
the A's. Who would have thunk that the Red Sox would have been in it, but that the A's, who I just did a quick search of, like, Oakland A's player stats.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of people who, hell, weren't even hitting, like, 250.
Yeah, they went on a crate. Like, didn't they lose their first series and then won a million games in a row?
They kind of did a Red Sox where they got hot after the first weekend, right?
They struggled. And, again, that's the one thing that's crazy about this Red Sox season. Not just where they're at in the standings, but it began with 3 losses to the Baltimore Orioles. So how about this? The Oakland A's, who now lead the division, the Western Division, they started the year 0-6. They dropped their first 6 games. In fact, they were 1-7. And then they won, I think, 13 games in a row at one point.
And they're like, what, 21-15 or something like that?
So now they've kind of gone back to playing around 500. But they went on a run where at one point they were 1-7. And then the next thing you know, they were 14-7. Like, what? And so,
and a lot of pitching, a lot of typical Moneyball type, right? Like, we know the deal with the A's. I mean, they're not going to surprise anybody. They're not loaded with superstars. No,
they're going to probably make the playoffs, then lose in the first round. They're like the Twins. Like, the A's and the Twins usually have pretty competitive teams. Like, over the course of 10 years, like, they're going to be competitive more often than not, but they're never a real threat. They're never going to win a thing.
I was looking at the I got the A's team stats up.
Yeah, do you know who they're leading, their batting average and RBI, who's leading the team there in hits?
Jed Lowry. So as a team, they're hitting a robust 219 on the year, these Oakland A's.
Insane. But what's the OBP? Well, actually, the OBP is not that great either.
Actually, the OBP is at 308, which is...
Yeah, it's a weird...
It's in the middle of the... I'm trying to click on the category. I want to say they're in the middle of the pack when it comes to OBP. They're eighth.
It's a weird team, but they've gotten some pretty good starting pitching, and I think that's what you're going to see. Like, you could be in store for another, believe it or not, pitcher's duel. But like almost like that Mets Sox series, you could have the same thing.
And you know what these A's do? They run. It'll be interesting to see how the Red Sox pitchers end up handling the running game of the Oakland Athletics. Xander Bogaerts wasn't running anywhere for a period of time last night.
No.
For those of you who missed the game and didn't hear the call from Will Fleming and Joe Castiglione right here on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network, they were very kind in describing where the baseball hit Xander Bogaerts in the batter's box.
He sets at his belt and throws, and Xander is hit on the left hip. He goes down into a heap, and it caroms off the home plate umpire, Ron Culpa. That got a bite of both of them. Still not pleasant. Where do you think that hit Xander? Right in the rib cage, maybe?
I don't think so. Perhaps a little bit lower, we hope, because that'd be really painful. He's got a smile on his face as he gets up.
And look at the replay. Right on the left thigh.
A padded area anyway, but not that it won't hurt. And then the umpire almost went down. Severino caught him, but Xander's got a big smile.
Now, I think the great Gorilla Monsoon would have said he hit him in the solar plexus.
Yeah, I would say it was lower than the rib cage.
Oh, definitely.
And not necessarily the thigh either.
Yeah, it probably should have sounded a little more like this.
He sets at his belt and throws, and Xander is hit on the left. He goes down into a heap, and it caroms off the home plate umpire, Ron Culpa. Still not pleasant. Where do you think that hit, Xander? Right in the maybe? Both of them.
Perhaps a little bit lower, we hope, because that'd be really painful. He's got a smile on his face as he gets up.
And look at the replay. Right on the left.
A padded area anyway, but not that it won't hurt. And then the umpire almost went down. Severino caught him, but Xander's got a big...
Does Joe just walk up to Xander like today, sees him in the like hotel or at the ballpark? Did that one hit you in the balls? Like, does he just come out and ask him like that?
Yeah, you might as well. I think you should. Just lean into it a little bit. Say what it is. Not well, Xander, but the
left or right. I had to. I can't feel good. When you're cupped up, it doesn't. Yeah. But he did have a smile on his face, and he was able to take his base and keep going. Oh, and by the way, did you see the catch that Xander almost made on the shift? He was, like, behind second base.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. He almost made a great play.
Yeah, he's got good range.
Yeah, he can hump it. Mm-hmm. So can Shime. That's trend.
More Gresh and Keefe right now on WEEI. It's time for Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
How you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams.
What now?
Kiefer Madness.
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
I was doing Junko Inoshima from Danganronpa.
I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Sasquatch.
That's funny.
Yo, Kiefer Madness is so hit or miss.
Keefe is a nice guy.
Keefe's a nice guy. Kiefer Madness?
It's Kiefer Madness with Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I bring it.
Good dog, bad owner.
Dog poop, cat poop, horse poop.
And I will not be muzzled like a mad dog.
And his wife still loves him. Probably his dogs too.
The caller's dog showed up with a guy's hand.
Here we go. It is around noon 30 on a Tuesday. That means it's time for Kiefer Madness on Gresh and Keefe.
Oh,
and as you can maybe tell by the lead-in, this is a story that involves a dog.
Yes, we love dogs.
It's a big dog show.
Very much
big,
so.
Big, big dog show. And I'll tell you what, a local story, too. Rare. Normally it's Florida, parts of Florida, northern Florida, southern Florida.
Sasquatch land.
Yeah,
right?
We occasionally go Pacific Northwest also. But this is a local story, a Boston story, and it was Channel 7 that very much was a part of the story. Sometimes you hear this, Gresh, where the news reporters might be covering a story, but then they become the story. That is a wild turn of events. You never know what's going to happen. You got to keep your eyes open while you're out there. So this is Julia Manza from Channel 7. Maza.
My photographer, John Geist, was standing right here when he noticed somebody walking a dog coming in our direction. So we stop him to ask a few questions, and all of a sudden we realize that's the dog that was taken.
First of all, I would have to admit, as much of a dog guy as I am, maybe a slow day if you are sending a crew out for a lost dog.
Yeah.
I love dogs. I love dogs even more than people. But how often do you see that happen?
We're a step away from there's a 100-year-old woman in Chula Vista with a great meatloaf recipe.
Yeah, like kind of, right?
Yeah.
But hey, they're out there. They're like, hey, lost dog, have you seen them? I don't know if you have to send somebody out there. But in this case, maybe you'll do it more because she said, wait a minute.
Channel 7 can't put Family Feud on all the time.
No, that's a good point.
A few summers ago, there was a beehive incident where they sent somebody to cover a beehive.
Well, you never know what's going to happen there. You know, people getting stung.
Might stink
honey,
somebody.
All kinds of, it could be a bear.
Allergic reactions.
Could be a bear.
Could be a bear attack.
See Shime running down the street with honey.
Winnie Pooh, no pants different on, just a t-shirt.
Different kind of bear. Different kind of bear altogether.
Oh my God. That's me motioning to my photographer, John, to start rolling when I realized we had spotted the dog reported stolen in Cambridge and the man seen in surveillance video accused of taking him. We start asking the man a few questions and he admits to taking the animal.
He was just barking in the car and I walked past the car and I realized I thought it was supposed to be dog walking.
What? I saw the dog in the car barking and I thought I was supposed to be dog walking?
Says Bob Baffert Jr.
What is this guy?
That is as bad as an excuse as there would be. A barking dog in a car. Yeah. I should be dog walking, so he just takes the dog?
What? Are you a dog walker?
Right.
Are you this dog's walker?
Do you console babies? Do you reach in for crying babies and hug them and make them feel good?
Now, if it was a really hot day and this guy took the dog out of the car, I would say hero. I would say, don't leave your dog in a hot car. That's insane.
And you
that
can
is
smash
cool.
a window to
get in there.
Set the air.
Well, this guy, I don't know. I think he just opened the door. This guy in Cambridge must have left his doors unlocked.
This man absconded with an animal.
Yes, he stole an animal.
Yes.
But it's kind of confusing. First of all, if you committed a crime, and we haven't gotten to the end yet, but if you committed a crime, would you stop and talk to the news?
No.
You don't think,
no.
Here's Channel 7. Let me break this down a little bit. And then tell them, yeah, the dog was barking, and I might be a dog walker.
And the guy was out just walking the stolen dog like no big deal.
It's like it's his own dog all of a sudden.
What?
So he's walking. I don't understand it, but he stopped to talk to the news.
Really, I thought it was supposed to be dog walking. It wasn't a kidnapping. It was just a simple mistake.
A simple mistake, he said, but police say 24 hours had gone by since Titus was taken, and the suspect never called them nor the owner, whose phone number is on the dog tag.
See, that's a red flag to me. You took the dog for a walk. You didn't call the owner to tell him that you were taking the dog for a walk. But I think he has actually a pretty good reason for why he didn't call the owner, despite the number being on the dog.
Okay.
You didn't think to call the number on the tag?
I did, but then I tried using one phone. The phone was broken, and I just...
And I don't have a good reason. So I'm just going to stand here and look like an idiot on television.
The phone was broken.
The phone was broken.
Did it need to be charged?
I dropped it in the toilet.
Are you lying right now, sir?
I was changing the water in the bowl of another dog that I stole, and I dropped my iPhone in that dog's water dish.
I think I stepped on it, and I don't know what to do about it.
I did, but then I tried using one phone. The phone was broken, and...
Okay, well...
That doesn't make sense.
You're going to have to... figure this out and maybe...
That's when we called Cambridge Police.
There we go.
Hey, dispatcher, this is Juliana over at 7 News. I actually have the dog Titus and the man who said it was an accident that he took the dog with me right now.
Within a matter of 2 minutes, officers arrived, as did Titus' owner.
When they said that they had him.
Yeah.
24 hours after being stolen from Greg's car in Cambridge, Titus is okay and back home with his dog dad. An emotional reunion, and one we were grateful to be there for.
I'm just glad that the person came back, and I'm glad that you guys were there. Titus, say thank you.
We're so happy that you're home.
A nice ending to the story,
very
I would
much
say.
So
Titus was reunited with his... Because I'll tell you what, I'll bring my dog, especially when the weather is nice, I'll bring him with me to places, and I'll run into like a liquor store or something, and I'll have the windows down, and I'll run out. If I ever came out and he was gone... I don't know what I would do. I would be just like...
It'd be like
so
seeing
lost.
A guy in the Starbucks parking lot walking in front of you. You'd have to stop and yell at him.
I that was one time. My head has been cooled off. Everything's fine. Nothing happened there. He's fine. I'm fine.
The suspect, now identified as 29-year-old Kyle Garapi of Boston, was taken into custody. He's charged with larceny and breaking and entering into a motor vehicle with intent to commit a felony. Arrested by Cambridge police in the same location Titus was stolen.
He returned to the scene of the crime with the dog that he stole.
I mean, what an idiot.
What are we doing?
Like, this is an all-time idiot. Yeah, and the guy's going to get a felony charge for taking a dog.
And he had a dog for 24 hours. He watched the dog for 24 hours.
Right.
I don't know.
If anyone ever sees this, like, who questions the value of media, social media, broadcast media, this proves it. This is the way it was supposed to happen.
We're heroes. As radio host.
Thank you. You know what? You're welcome.
You know what, sir?
You're welcome.
You're absolutely welcome.
On behalf
welcome.
Of broadcast media.
We're doing God's
this
work.
This is why here. I do it.
That's I right. should be like I should be with you and standing up and all
you
this.
Don't
think and so?
All,
no.
It's emotional.
So
I
thank
mean,
you.
Channel you're 7, welcome. They've been leading for 4 days with this. We saved this dog. Not here's the news. It's we did this.
They are going to send their reporters out on every missing dog now.
Oh,
every
my single God.
Dan Housley's going to be chasing every lead now.
Oh, whatever you got.
Wait till Nike Belichick goes.
Oh,
is that Byron Barnett get that one? Does he even work there anymore? Is he at a different station? Who gets that one? You're right. Then it's Housley or whomever, right?
So thank you.
You're welcome.
John and I are just grateful that we were in the right place at the right time and that Titus is finally back home with his family.
Right.
In Cambridge, Juliana Mazza, 7 News.
Juliana Mazza, just like I said at the beginning. So there you go. There is a nice story with a good ending.
And if you're the dude who stole the dog, first of all, they showed him all cuffed and stuffed and getting Roscoe Pico trained into the old paddy wagon there.
Yeah.
But the guy did the whole, like, oh, Sour Patch Kids. Actually, he knew the whole time.
Yeah.
He was running a load of crap.
I don't know what else this guy's
up
to.
He just happened to have been dumb enough to do it in front of a camera. How about this? Turn around and walk away.
Better. What's the better lie? I thought I was a dog walker, or my phone was broken.
I mean, my phone was broken.
It's a good one, right?
Pretty.
Did you get my calls? No, broke.
Even my 16-year-old, the youngest, he would not drop that out on me.
No.
My 19-year-old might, but
dog was barking. I thought I'd walk him.
Yeah, right.
He was
barking
him back
in the car,
or?
Right?
No,
maybe he was barking at you.
Yeah, because he could sense
How about
evil.
That, right?
He could sense danger.
That's exactly. Right. Dogs can.
They
can smell cancer.
Yep.
They can. Yeah, all that stuff.
That's right. Very smart.
Well, kind of just so people know, like I admit, I have a massive fluffy golden retriever. We're opening the pool today. By Saturday, he's going to be swimming away. Oh,
yes.
Loves to go in the backyard.
Yeah.
Stands at the steps, looks at me, barks once it open. Then he's hot spotting it up all over the place.
Having a nice time. Yeah, I got he's like a border collie mix. We don't really know exactly what kind of dog he is. He's a rescue dog. He is like long black fur, probably like 40 pounds. Like he's little. He's
so,
a little guy.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's still a decent sized dog.
I mean,
it's not
dog,
not like a, you know, one. Like,
no, you can't put him in a bag.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
it's like Paris Hilton walking around with a fur head hanging out of a bag getting on a plane.
No,
there's none of that. Because I can't envision you with like
a tiny dog? No.
A tote bag with the little fur popping out and everything.
I like the big dogs.
Little collar.
Yeah, when I got him, we were in an apartment, so it was like wasn't gonna happen.
Oh, I got
like a Newfoundland or like a St. Bernard.
Oh my god.
That's what I want.
They're really big though.
Yeah.
Like
Like 150, 160 pounds.
Just remember this. The bigger the dog, the higher the vet bill.
I know. Well,
if I can have if I can just get to the real deterrent and something like that for you, it'd be the cost. But, well, in all seriousness, even though we made some jokes, good job by Juliana busting that guy.
Yes.
I mean, what a creepy weirdo.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it'll be on their best of, you know, Christmas reel over there at Channel 7 when Steve Harvey decides to take a day off.
They did it.
No more Family Feud. Mm-hmm. Coming up, I love Kiefer Madness. Wiggy's way wrong on this. We'll get back into the Bruins next.
What's an acting performance that was so good you forgot it was acting?
It wasn't a kidnapping. It was just a simple mistake. I did, but then I tried using one phone. The phone was broken, and I just...
Like the show? Of course you do. Tell a friend about Gresh and Keefe on WEEI.
I would say I've been a bit upset about the way that things have been handled since I've been hurt. I'd be lying to say that things have moved smoothly since my injury. So yeah, I think that there's been a bit of a disconnect, I think, from the organization a bit and myself. And it's been tough at times, but you know, right now for me, I think the I think the most important thing is just trying to get healthy and figure out a way to be available to play hockey next year, you know, wherever that might be.
That is Jack Eichel.
What did he say there at the end?
He is not happy.
No.
The whole, if I play here next year, is
that able to play hockey next year, you know, wherever that might be.
What about the team that signed you to an 8-year, $80 million deal that you still have, what, like 5 years left on?
Yep.
I love it. Because Buffalo, as Taylor Hall has proven, is a cesspool of a hockey team right now. A horrible franchise. They seem like they're going absolutely nowhere, and they have one of the great young players in the game, or great players, forget young, like he happens to be young, but he's a great player. And if you could get him somewhere else, obviously here as a Bruins fan, that'd be great. But just, I don't know what they're going to be able to do there to, they can keep him, right? We signed you, we can keep you, and we're going to build around you, and they can try their ass off to build around you. Or do they put him on the block and get as much as possible in return, because they're I would say, a long ways away from being competitive.
So apparently there is, according to Pierre LeBrun, right? Because yes. I asked the question on the whole, there was a big signing bonus in there and the way it went with cap accounting and all that. The very first line from Pierre LeBrun in The Athletic, which team will be responsible for paying the remaining $50 million on Jack Eichel's contract? And then it kind of goes from there where Pierre's got a lot of guys in the NHL that are sort of responding and talking about this, and some of these team executives. And how about team executive number one? First line, tough spot for Buffalo. Oh, there you go. No kidding.
I would say so.
He says, your team is in somewhat disarray. Your marquee player had a short, substandard, injury-riddled year, now wants out. They're not dealing from a position of strength. If they're resigned to move him, they'd be well-served to put it out there and attempt to make it an auction. That's probably how they best maximize their return. And then there is the, hey, this guy's a great player, but is he really worth all the money? And then there is the, well, does a guy who played with him in Taylor Hall have the ability to sort of lean on him a little bit? And if it turns into a, okay, where are you going to go? Where are you going to trade to? I mean, the Bruins have done business with the Sabres. We know that they'd love to repurpose and get this team younger a little bit. I don't know if there's a match there, but boy, a couple of rounds in the playoffs might make it that much more enticing for not only teams to maybe do business, but for the Bruins to want to go get someone like that and quote-unquote bring Eichel home.
Yeah, I mean, that would be, I mean, you're talking about Tuukka and Krejci coming off the books. Now, maybe they come back, but I don't think it'll be at $7 million or, in Krejci's case, like $7.25 million, right? So that's less money.
$900,000, like Zdeno Chara. Here you go. Welcome back.
Then you could send out some other guys as part of that deal. I mean, you got to at least inquire as to what that might take if a player like that is going to move. I also just, I don't know how much that has become a part of the NHL yet, whereas in the NBA, it only takes, if a player says, I want out, seemingly in a couple of weeks, he's out. Now, maybe they drag it out a whole season like Anthony Davis that last year with the Pelicans, but ultimately, he was gone. And teams, they move on from their guys. The NFL, we started to see it a little bit more. And in the NHL, like, does that happen? If you have a great player and you're a bad team and you have him locked up and he says he wants out, like, is that enough to then be like, okay, you're gone? Or do they figure it out and say, you know what? What's best for our team? Because right now, Buffalo is the worst team in the NHL by far.
Like,
I think they're
like close.
6 points separate them and the next worst team. So maybe they say, all right, we'll have the number one pick. We'll have your first. We'll have a bunch of your future firsts. We'll have a few young guys coming in here. And it's probably best for their franchise to move on from him, even though he's young. But you could probably get a haul for him.
And they could do the chip in, you know, oh, we'll give you, you know, $10 million over X or whatever it would be, or X amount per year. This little nugget from Boston Sports, since we're on hockey, this is a blow your mind stat. Brad Marchand scoring at least one goal in the regular season. In the last 100 games, the Boston Bruins are 82-11-7. That's an .855 winning percentage when Marshy just puts one in the net.
Yeah, and I think the number, I remember talking about it in the playoffs last year too. I think the playoff number is pretty impressive too. It was basically the way Marchand goes, the way the team goes. If he scores a goal, that is you'll take your chances, but at 85% clip, you're going to win.
And another good one they just popped up with Krejci. 1 point, and when he has at least 1 point in the regular season in the last 50 games, the record 43-2-5.
So
good Lord.
Those guys could be a part of Keefe's keys to the postseason, I feel like.
Oh, right, yes. There.
I say a Marshawn goal and a Krejci point.
And not to tease too far ahead, but a Keefe's keys tomorrow in a way that you have never heard before.
Yeah, fact, I know. Outside the box.
You're in on this, right? They,
oh, of
you
course.
Include in? Okay.
Oh, yeah,
I just
want to
make
sure.
Oh,
yeah.
Because
no,
sometimes
know.
Stuff gets put on the
it's
sheet
Keefe's keys.
And then it's
of course
like,
I know.
Yeah, but I know if John said anything.
Yeah, yeah. No, I got it. I'm
yeah, yeah.
That.
No, we got to
tomorrow.
I told everybody except the person who will be attacked during the segment.
Oh!
That person does not yet.
Oh, attack is a very forward word.
It's not attacked. If anything,
no.
it's helpful. The keys are only helpful.
That's right.
Whether it's a playoff series, a new season, or whatever it might
slice
be.
Slice of life.
We had Keefe's keys to beating the Heat two summers ago. Very helpful. Get a fan. That was one of the better ones.
That is very good.
Yeah.
So it's a short one where you're running late. That
segment
there
wasn't
had to go
too
quick.
Many. Well, it was the old before you get in your hot car, open the door and use it like a like a fan and kind of like open and shut it. That was a classic one.
Then you close your leg in and
like, sit on a bag of ice.
Sit on the bag of ice. You can only do that if you got leather seats though.
Yeah. One of them, which I found odd, but again it was a key, was to wet your sheets with cold water, and then take a snooze. That's when it's really hot.
Wet your sheets?
Yeah, spray them down.
That's worse. A wet bed? Ugh.
Yeah, but are you hot, though? I can't sleep when I'm hot. I'd hose down the bed.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
one of the keys. You can take them or leave them.
3, 7. We didn't say they're all good, but they're keys.
Yeah, you got to pick and choose which ones apply to you.
That's right. So we'll have a little Keefe's Keys tomorrow as well. And the debut of the Clubhouse Report. We will talk to Rob Bradford tomorrow as well for the first time on that. And we will have a WEEI.com related announcement within that chat with Rob Bradford.
A lot going on.
A lot going on tomorrow. Huh. Coming up, Red Sox are going to open the series of the week against the surprising Oakland A's. Let's take a look at this phenomenon of the five-inning start with the Red Sox. That's next.